From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Delighted that you have joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue this series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled The Reach of Almighty Grace. The text is Hosea chapter 1 and verse 10. It shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, Ye are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, Ye are the sons of the living God. Sovereign grace can make strangers into sons, and the Lord here declares his purpose to deal thus with rebels and make them know what he has done. Beloved friend, the Lord has done this in my case. Has he done the like for you? Then let us join hands and hearts in praising his adorable name. Some of us were so decidedly ungodly that the Lord's word most truly said to our conscience and heart, Ye are not my people. In the house of God and in our own homes, when we read the Bible, this was the voice of God's Spirit in our soul, Ye are not my people. Truly a sad, condemning voice it was. But now, in the same places, from the same ministry and Scripture, we hear a voice which saith, Ye are the sons of the living God. Can we be grateful enough for this? Is it not wonderful? Does it not give us hope for others? Who is beyond the reach of almighty grace? How can we despair of any, since the Lord has wrought so marvelous a change in us? He who has kept this one great promise will keep every other. Wherefore, let us go forward with songs of adoration and confidence.
Through many dangers, toils, save this heart. This grace will lead me safely home. Twill be His grace that sustains me. Twill be His grace that
Every so often here on Let the Bible Speak, we've mentioned Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include, why did Christ have to become a man? Why does a good God allow suffering? Or, what is the unpardonable sin? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. All of these video clips are available on the ltbsradio.com website. In addition, we're happy to be able to provide you, free of charge, a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD, Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you wish, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Thank you.
In the course of these studies in the Epistle to the Romans, Dr. Cairns now continues his exposition of chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. During this message, he is focusing on the main purpose of Romans, which is to answer a question which Job posed long ago: how shall a man be just with God? Paul had no sooner answered the question than various people began raising objections. The Bible teaches that there is only one answer to this most paramount of questions. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter declared, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ, the only Savior of sinners." Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, "Nothing to boast about."
Paul is dealing with an objection. People were not really flocking to hear this gospel and embrace it, especially more religious ones about them. You find the same in chapter 9 and verse 14. What shall we say then? Now he's in chapter 9, he's dealing with very deep doctrine, the doctrine of God's eternal predestinating electing grace, which is meant to be, first of all, a glorious statement of the majesty of our God, and it is meant also to be a great comfort to the people of God. Read in context, Romans chapter 9 is one of the most beautiful and uplifting and refreshing statements in Scripture that will inject certainty into the heart of a believer. And yet, as soon as he does this, up comes the objection: the God you're preaching is unrighteous. You find the same in chapter 11, verse 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? This is the slander that was being thrown in Paul's face. According to you, God is fickle. He's changeable. He chose Israel and then he unchose them. He took them and then he threw them away. You have the audacity to talk about an eternal purpose. The God you're preaching is a God who is whimsical and changeable. Has God cast away his people? He's taking up the objection. Now, it's not my purpose tonight to go into all the objections. I'm simply showing you that there's one answer to the question of how to be just with God. It comes from God. It's most fully expounded for us here in the Epistle to the Romans. And yet, on the very surface of this epistle, you have the evidence that even at its first giving, through the lips of an inspired apostle who had miraculous powers constantly being manifested to support what he was saying, even then it was coming under attack and it was coming under human rejection. Now, what does Paul do then? As soon as he realizes this, he does what any good preacher does. He faces it head on and he answers it. Now, how does he answer it? Does he follow these people up and down every little rabbit trail of human logic? No. Does he start quoting all the earthly philosophers? No. He faces man's ignorance and man's opposition to the gospel by getting them straight to the Word of God. Why? Because there's power in this Word. This Word is a living Word. It has power to destroy lifelong views based on human philosophy or whatever. It has power just to destroy them in a moment and to replace them with light. That's why you use the Bible. Get to know your Bible. Read your Bible. Study your Bible. Learn your Bible. R.A. Torrey turned out, and I've mentioned this in the past, and I recommend it not because I accept and believe every nuance of R.A. Torrey's theology, but because I respect him as one of the greatest Bible teachers and evangelists America ever produced. And he turned out a little, well, not such a little work. How to Work for Christ was rather a large work. It was then taken and a smaller work was made out of it. And then somebody took a little booklet, just about this size, and they condensed The great scriptures you really need to have at your fingertips if you're going out into the world to witness to people of every kind. Remember, as a young fellow, I carried that about with me everywhere. I learned those scriptures so that whoever I came in touch with, be they so-called atheists or agnostics or people who laughed or people who said, I haven't time to think about it now, or people who said, well, I'm interested in that, but this is my view and the other's my view. It didn't matter what they said. There was scripture with which to answer them. And I would strongly recommend you to do a course like that. That's how Paul answered. You'll find that this word of God is quick. It's living. And it's powerful. I don't know if I should take time off just to say this tonight. It's not on Romans 4, but it does illustrate the point I'm making about the power of the Word of God. And I'm a little timorous because on the other side of the world there will be a man listening to what I'm saying very soon, and he'll know I'm talking about him. But I think he'll forgive me for I'm not breaking any confidence. He may even be able to come here sometime soon. I hope so. He's a pastor, 53 years old, in New Zealand. He wrote me to say that he'd been listening in to sermon audio, and he'd been greatly blessed through my ministry as he had listened in. But the part that I want to leave with you is this. He told me his testimony. My memory's right, he was saved in 1985. He said, I was a drunkard, and I was deeply into drugs. I knew nothing about God or anything else. Walking through a woodland, he found a Bible split into, I think he said it was either 32 or 36 parts. Obviously meant to be destroyed. He took that Bible, and as he lifted it, he started to read it. He read about God. And it dawned on him, there is a God. And then it dawned on him, he sees me. And it broke his heart. He couldn't pray for salvation. He knew nothing about salvation. He couldn't pray for the grace of God in Jesus Christ. He knew nothing about Jesus Christ, any Savior, or anything else. What he later realized was the Spirit of God convicting him, kept him brokenhearted in reading that Bible, until by the power of the Word of God, he came to call by faith on Jesus Christ. And he's not a drunkard, and he's not a drug addict, but a preacher of the gospel of saving grace. Now, there's nothing has power like the Word of God. Nothing has power like the Word of God. That's why Paul employed it as he did. We find in Romans 3, as he's dealing with the objectors, he piles on the Scriptures. And now we find to see him as we come into Romans chapter 4. Because confronting man's ignorance and man's opposition, he now comes to deal with something that lay right at the very heart of the Jewish objectors' rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll notice that Romans 4 commences with a question. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found. The Jews believed that the Old Testament taught a system of merit. They spoke indeed of the merit of Abraham's faith, which God rewarded. They spoke of his perfect righteousness of life, which gained the favor of God. They also believed that circumcision, the mark of the covenant, guaranteed an entrance into heaven. You remember some months ago now, I quoted from the old Jewish writings to the effect that Abraham sits at the gate of Gehenna to make sure that no circumcised Jew could ever enter into hell. Now, it's against that background that Paul starts writing Romans chapter 4. as he sets out to establish justification by free grace through faith alone in the merits of Christ alone, he has to deal with this fundamental heresy that had gripped the hearts of so many Jewish people. He wasn't doing it because he wanted an argument or he wanted to win an argument. Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 10 will why tell you why he's doing it. He's doing it because his heart was breaking with a love and a passion to see his people saved. And so he sets out to examine the case of Abraham. What will we say then about Abraham? According to you, Abraham was saved because there was merit in his faith. He was saved on account of his faith. Or he was personally righteous and therefore God accepted him. What will we say about Abraham? That's what he's dealing with in chapter 4. Now obviously chapter 4, and even an ignorant Irishman knows this, follows chapter 3. And it's not too difficult to understand that what is said in chapter 4 follows logically. This is why I love the book of Romans. The book of Romans is the most logical of books. You can follow the argument why Paul is saying what he says at any given time. It follows logically on from what he's been saying in chapter 3. Now, I really don't have the time to do this, but you should remember that verse 21 to 31 of Romans chapter 3 is in many ways the summary of all Paul's doctrine on this matter of justification. Let me run down the points that he will in chapter 4 condense into a few large points. Start at verse 21. Justification is apart from personal obedience to the law. So easy to read Romans 3:21. Now the righteousness of God without the law, apart from the law, is manifested. So easy to read that. But you know, that was revolutionary in Paul's day. It was revolutionary in the days of Martin Luther. It was revolutionary in the days of Whitfield and Wesley when they started preaching it against the backdrop of spiritual deadness that had brought England to such awful depths of ignorance of the things of God. And it's revolutionary today. Let me tell you that even in so-called evangelical churches, it is hard to find a preacher who really understands the truth of what Paul is saying, that righteousness with God is entirely apart from the works of the law. The Roman Catholic Church's Council of Trent misused some of the greatest brains in the world. They used the abilities of some of the most cultivated men the world has ever seen to produce a theological document that is brilliant in many ways, but its brilliance is put to the evil purpose of denying this very truth. Justification is totally apart from any acts of personal obedience to God or to His law. That's what he's saying in verse 21. Now, it's not saying it will not produce such acts. He will go on and show that it does. But that's the fruit, not the ground or the means of our being justified. Again in verse 21, he points out that this doctrine is not foreign to the Old Testament, but indeed it's what both the law and the prophets taught, witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22, he makes it clear that this justification that's apart from legal obedience is received by faith. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Therefore, verse 24, this justification is free. The theological term for that is it is gratuitous. It is without any cause in us. The only thing that gives rise to it is the innate goodness and kindness of our God. It is free, and it is therefore by grace. Verse 25, this gratuitous and gracious justification is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. It's grounded on the propitiation that He made unto God in the shedding of His precious blood.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.